on mine. You make everything feel fine. Worry about those comments. I'm way too numb, yeah. It's way too dumb, yeah.
I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich. Throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. When you're not around me, throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah. 713, to the 21, yeah, I'm riding. Why they on me, I'm flying. I'm sipping low key, and I'm flying.
I get those goosebumps every time.
Sorry, I you know what, you guys know what I'm laughing at. I'm laughing at John's moves. John has got the moves in there. In the green room. He's busting the move there. I love it. Love it, John.
Oh, that was brilliant. Literally, just as it cut live, it's like an absolute splutter. But we're here. Welcome to Lady Mag NUFC. We're back for another talking tune, another week, another round of talking points of Newcastle United and Loaded Mag NUFC. Do it like no other. We make sure that we have the people on to discuss all things Newcastle United. But first of all, Daz, Chris, how are you on this fine Wednesday evening?
Well, I'm all the better now after seeing John's moves. All good at me, Pete. All good at me. Normal working day, middle of the week. But yeah, I'm looking forward to talking a bit of Newcastle and with the lads here. We're going to talk about a certain match as well, I'm sure, as part of our discussion.
Sure we are. Chris, how you doing, fella? How's things?
Oh, good, mate, yeah. Really busy in work at the moment on a personal level, but I'm all good, mate. Yeah, really been really looking forward to having the lads on tonight. Should be a really good show. I tell you what, I was laughing not just at John's dancing, but also you know, the intro, and when we're all celebrating, all I can ever hear, it even drowns out the music, is me going, hey. Every time I hear it, if I'm like looking away and the music's on, I'm always like, oh god. but I'm good, boys. How are you, Pete? You all right, mate?
I'm the same, mate. This week's been an absolute nightmare at work. Non-stop. This is kind of like feels like a bit of a break, yeah, for me. And yeah, I'll probably be straight back on it again after we finish the show. Busy week. I knew it was coming. I'm halfway through. Let's just get through it, and hopefully the week after and beyond will be even better. But you know what's even better? The fact that so many are in the chat right now. Welcome to you all. Thank you for rocking with us and being with us. Toon Tactics TV's in the house. I like some Alan Thompson's in the house. You've got David Cook. You've got Les Stapleton. You've got Geordie Toon for Life. There's just the ones I can see. Lorraine Turner's in the house as well. Well, thank you all for coming and joining us. And just do the normal housekeeping, as we always do. Just click those likes. Thanks for watching, and thank you for your support, as always. But, yeah, I think it's time to talk some tune. And we need to get these boys in. So let's get them in, Daz. Let's get them in the house.
Okay, give me the order. Target.
Yes.
The target.
We didn't do it last time until late on. Let's do that first, and then we'll get the boys in.
Let's go for 200. 200 likes. Go on. You can do it. There's already 86 in the chat. So if everyone clicked it, we'll be nearly halfway there to our target of 200 likes. But yeah, let's bring the lads in. Where are we going first?
Do we need the spinny wheel? No, we don't need the
spinny wheel. No, we don't need the spinny wheel.
let's bring the guys on first that have been here and done that. Let's get Jordy Dredd. He's back in business, back joining us tonight. Let's get him in, Specs.
Welcome back, Specs.
Yes, yes. Big up to everyone on the panel, everyone coming in, everyone in the chats, hitting the likes. I appreciate being there. I'm your London embracing Geordie, because obviously you can tell I'm from North London, Tottenham. Long story, but I appreciate guys, and I'm all right, man. We got a win the other day, so I'm all right. On the right track, got some few players back, etc., etc. So long may continue. Bit of consistency, mate. Bit of consistency.
Love it. Exactly. And get should we get the rival in? Should we
enemy? The enemy, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's all friendly here. Let's get Johnny from Newcastle Fans TV. Welcome, Johnny.
Evening, lads. How are you doing? You okay?
All good, fella.
All good.
To be fair, that's probably one of the nicest things you've called me is the enemy, so I'll take that. No, it's always good fun, isn't it? Like I say, it's good fun. Obviously, we've had a bit of back and forth over the last couple of, 18 months, I suppose, with all the charity stuff that we've done. And we've got a big announcement, haven't we, for another game on the horizon for a very, very good cause and special cause. And I know the Loaded family are very, very generous as well, which obviously for the charity game last year, obviously, we raised a lot of money together. Hopefully we can do the same again, because obviously we're doing it for a really good cause, and I'm sure I'll let you tell everybody about it, because it's obviously your show and your platform. But rivalries resume once again.
They do,
and we will go into detail. But just to let people know, pinned in the top of YouTube as well is the link to the page, so you'll find it there. And we can only accept donations via the page. So if anyone would like to donate. And the details and are all there in the link. And we will be talking a bit about it during the show. But shall we bring our new Debbieson in? Disco Dancing John. Let's get him on. Welcome John Sinclair for his debut. Hey, John.
Yes. big up to you, my guys. Big up to you, Pete. Big up to you and Daz, Chris. Nice to meet you as well, Chris. Big up to Specs. Nice meeting you as well, my guy. And North London lad. Big up to Big J. Big up to you, Mia Tan. Thank you so much for bringing us on to your wonderful podcast, finally.
Finally. There we go. And it's a pleasure to have you. You guys, three, are a great panel. And we're gonna put you to the test. Tonight we're gonna we're not gonna throw a quiz at you, but we're gonna ask you some interesting questions. And I don't know whether to go. Boy, should I go for the jugular or not?
Don't throw me under the bus, man. Don't throw me under the bus, man. You're gonna think I'm a fake Newcastle fan. I'm only from London, bro. It's totally hard out here for me, bro.
Hey, these questions and these topics are all you'll know about these boys. I'm going to ask Chris and Daz, are we going to go straight into it, or should we ease them in first?
Go straight into it. Throw them under the bus if you have to, Pete. Go on.
Okay, right. Well, before we get into it, let's get down to a big topic of conversation that's going all around the Newcastle United fans at this moment in time. And it involves this.
Oh, he's gone there. Oh, no.
It involves this. Now, the question I have for you people about St. James's Park is, do Newcastle United need a new stadium in order to take the next step? So, we'll get into it. Lots of different conversations, lots of different points and opinions regarding this. It's been the talk of the town for the last week or so. But Johnny, I'll come to you first. In your opinion, do we need to move from St. James's Park in order to take the next step?
In my opinion, no, we don't. I think the ground we've got is 90% of what everybody else has got, if you think about it. But it's such a very, it's a fascinating one. I think the vast majority of Newcastle United fans do not want to move away from St. James's Park, and I class myself as one of those fans. I don't want us to move. I think we need to look at every avenue to expand St. James's Park to a certain degree. And I've seen so many people saying, oh, we can fill out an 80,000 seat stadium. I don't want us to kind of go to 80,000 or even 75,000 because I don't think we're that sort of club just yet. I think 65,000 is the maximum capacity I think Newcastle should go for. I think it caters for everybody because I would say at this moment in time, yes, there is, you can't get a lot of tickets, let's be honest, but I think if there was an extra 10,000 tickets available, I think that would justify everybody. I think it wouldn't make the ground empty. I think it would be full still. It's just that East Stand, isn't it? That's the biggest thing, because if you get that East Stand right and the listed buildings can be moved or paid off, because that's kind of what the conversations you're hearing at this moment in time, kind of be moved to the next street, if you like, if the club build the buildings behind it or make some buildings behind it that might move or whatever the decisions are being made. But it's a very, very difficult one. But an answer to your question, I don't think they do. I think someone put up actually a really, really good point on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. You know, Manchester City have got 55,000, 56,000 in terms of capacity. And yes, they maximise all their hospitality side of things. You know, they've got the Tunnel Club, which is obviously a big, big selling. It's extraordinary. You can see the pictures and the videos. It's extraordinary. But I don't think Newcastle are that far away from trying to increase every bit of revenue. You've got the stack that's getting built now. That's gonna be part of the finances as well. So I don't think we personally need to. However, what I will say, this is going to be my last point before I let the others say their piece. I think the owners, if you ask them more privately, I think they'd all move away from St. James's Park like that. If I can click my fingers, I can't. But I think they would, privately. I think they would wholeheartedly move and create their, if you like, Sir Jim Ratcliffe's idea, a Wembley of the North, because they've got the money to do it and it'd be a drop in the ocean.
Interesting. We get that conversation rolling. Specs, I'll come to you. In your opinion, you know, do we need to and just to clarify what I mean by taking the next step as in that next step into that top six, you know, where you're getting that sort of revenue, where you're seen along the same lines as those type of teams, that in reference to taking the next step. Specs, what's your thoughts on that? Because there's been a lot of talk about this. I know for a fact you would have seen it on socials, that you would have seen the conversations. What do you make of it all?
Well, first of all, there's two things. So let's keep it. The first thing is, no matter what, yes, I'm a Newcastle United supporter. I'm not from Newcastle direct. But let's keep it real. If you are from original Geordie Newcastle, no matter how much I love Newcastle, the actual original Geordies are going to feel it more. Do you know what I'm saying? I keep it real, innit? I'm never going to deny that. For me personally, no. I wouldn't want to see it move. I want to be one of the rare ones. Keep St. James's where it is. It's something special, bro. It's nothing like others. You get what I'm saying? And as a Londoner, I'm from London. You get what I'm saying? And I know there's a big difference in supporting clubs, like your local teams in London, and up north is a different thing. I support Newcastle all my life. I can see it, like it's real personal. You get me? It's like usually like a one town, one supporting club. As for the owners, which Jonathan alluded to right at the end of his comment, openly or privately, trust me, they could move, they will move, bro. Like he said, like that. Because at the end of the day, yes, they're here to elevate the club, but it's a business. Let's not ever get this twisted, bro. Do you get what I'm saying? You see the likes of what Spurs are doing in Tottenham, for example, where I'm from, I've seen it. I see what goes on there. If Newcastle could, they've got the money for it, as you said, Pete. If they could move a stadium, they've got opportunity to, of course, you think they'll care? They'll move that. It's a business. Make it, like you said, Wembley of the up north, parties, F1s, gold, NBA games, whatever's going on. Do you get what I'm saying? Because it's a business. So that's, if they had a chance to, they would move it. Me personally, I don't want to. I want to keep it original. But it is what it is. They didn't come in here just for the fans. You get what I'm saying? Obviously, they got love for the fans. Like, it's balanced. But first and foremost, it's a business, isn't it? And they've got the money. And it's an ego thing as well. And it's like a playboy thing, isn't it? They want to put the money where their mouth is and do this. And the question is, is it right or is it wrong? That's the question. But for me, leave St. James's as it is. If you can expand a bit on it, so be it. I agree with Jonathan saying about 65,000, maybe 62. That's all right for now, in my eyes. But it's a business, and you've got to remember that.
John, I'll come to you, because obviously, you know, Specs and Jonathan have made a couple of really good points whilst sharing their opinions. And Specs has just mentioned about 62, 65 would be an acceptable sort of a capacity. And first off, your opinions on whether we should move or not from your perspective. But equally, what would you suggest if we were to stay at St. James's Park? What would be an appropriate upgrade? We're at 52, nearly 53,000 as it is. What should we be looking to get to if we were to stay at St. James's Park? But what are your opinions overall, mate?
Right, for me personally, I mean, like, I'm in two minds of it. It'd be good to move to Leicester's Park, just fill up a little bit. But for me, I mean, I thought about this today. I spoke to someone yesterday, but I thought about it now, that it'd be better to stay at St. James's Park if you could expand the stadium. Yeah, I think 65,000, 70,000 is enough. But I'll say stay where it is for now. But if they have to move stadium, right, to take it to the next level, to the next step, then I have no problems with it at all whatsoever. I believe in the owners, I believe in the stadium and the people. So for me, I would just say, I've changed my mind, leave at St. James's for now. And then, because it's iconic, it's special, and everyone remembers St. James's Park, but move it to, if it needs to be a stadium move it to Leicester's Park, just further up the road from it, not too far away, and I'll buy that as well. So for me, I'll leave it as it is. And like the guy said, they got the money to buy a new stadium. If they want to move it or build a new stadium, they'll do it.
Nice. It's an interesting one.
It's a hard one. It's a hard one.
Yeah. This is not easy. It's conflicted so many fans for so many different reasons. And this is why it's not a straight shooting answer, because of the confliction that it kind of holds with a lot of Newcastle United fans. But Daz, you kind of mentioned this to us the other day. You were talking about it, and that you put a few things in our chat, because in your opinion, do you think the owners are already looking ahead to potentially move it?
Yeah, look, I've been following this, like everyone, we've been following this for a while, and everyone in the chat as well. Ideally, it's to expand St. James's Park is option one, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen or be easy to do from all the discussions that are ongoing, even though they're getting the best architects available to come up with plans. It doesn't look like the way they're going to go. I have been looking at a few other channels, and they've done an analysis on the locations where the potential stadiums could be. There's the arena that's closer to the river. There's Leicester's Park, but further into Leicester's Park, not right kind of joined on to St. James's Park, which I don't think is really feasible. Then we know that the listed buildings are going to be an issue for any kind of expansion as well of the East Stand. But I think there's kind of anyone that has a season ticket definitely doesn't want to move. But people that don't have a season ticket or find it difficult to get to games they might be on a different page when it comes to this. But how I see it playing out, and I know we've been talking about this as well, is that I think they'll look at all options. They'll look at the expansion as well, and what is actually feasible with that and what kind of numbers they can get there. But I think we will be a few years down the road, maybe 2 years down the road, and a decision will be made then to build a new stadium. I think it's not going to be you wake up tomorrow and that's going to be the way they go. It's going to take a while, and maybe when we're in a good, solid, positive position, they'll announce something like that. But yeah, it will be a massive thing to announce that because it will divide the fan base if and when that is to happen. And we have a poll running as well, Pete. The poll is in the chat now as well, so you have your say, whether you leave the question below, whether it's a yes or a no for you.
get involved. People in the chat, people that are watching, give your opinions. It'd be good to feed that back later on in the show. Chris, I'll come to you. Lots of talk about Newcastle United's atmosphere, what we create, the Strawberry Corner, right up in level seven, in the Leasers Corner as well, the noise it's generated there and the atmosphere that it creates around the stadium. A lot of fans seem to think that moving from St. James's Park will affect that moving forward, and what is sort of iconic and what holds with a lot of fans that don't support Newcastle United is what we bring when they come to our stadium. Do you think, along with your own opinions about this, do you think moving to a new stadium could potentially impact on that?
I mean, potentially it could, but let's not forget, you know, I know that. It's so difficult, this, because I don't want to leave St. James's Park. Like I don't particularly want to leave. But on the other hand, I'm probably more comfortable with a new stadium than most. And the reason being is, you know, we're at the start of a new era now. And like this new stadium, if there was one to be built, it's not just going to be any old stadium. And as much as we all love St. James's Park, and, you know, St. James's Park will always be fondly remembered, in my opinion, if we were to build a brand new state-of-the-art stadium with 75,000 capacity, I feel like that's when we'd arrive. I really, really do. Like I say, I don't sit here now and say that I want us to get into St. James's Park, but I just think, you know, like Pete, me and you, we've been to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, haven't we? And it is mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And, you know, the pride. I know a couple of Tottenham fans, and the pride that they have going into that stadium, it's almost like they're like, look what we've got. And I just think with these owners and the fact that money isn't really is no object, really. You know, things like, that, you know, worrying about the atmosphere and stuff like that, these owners are very attention to detail. And again, because money's no option, I think all of these things would be considered. Like, I think, I don't think they'd just wipe the memory of St. James's Park and just start afresh. I think there'd be a lot of things that they would carry through from St. James's to the new stadium. And I think there would be a lot of consultation, both with fan groups, with, you know, fans. I don't see them just going and building a new stadium and going, there you go, there's your new stadium. I think there will be a lot of involvement from the fan base, and I think they will listen. The fact that, you know, they're already sending out, you know, questionnaires would indicate to me that, you know, clearly they are interested to hear what the people want. And I just think it's one of those where as soon as it happens, or as soon as we know we're getting a new stadium, I think we'll all start coming to terms with it. And as soon as that new stadium is built and we've got it, and, you know, it's new, it's fresh, it's big, it's imposing. I think it'd be a wonderful thing. I really, really do. I really do. And if we can get more people in there, it can only be better. I mean, obviously, I may feel differently if I was a season ticket holder. As Daz said, I'm not a season ticket holder. I'd love to be a season ticket holder. But I appreciate that existing and current season ticket holders may not feel that way. But trust me, I think as soon as that stadium, if we do get a new stadium, if that new stadium is built, as soon as people walk through the door, they'll just go, wow. And I truly believe it will be the best stadium in the UK as well. And that's what I think appeals more to me. If we were doing like a bit of a half-assed job, or, you know, we were kind of scraping by to kind of erect some bang average stadium, then maybe, you know, I would feel differently about it. But because of the owners that we've
like Everton.
Well, I was trying to allude to that, Daz. But no, to be fair, their stadium does look like pretty good. I drive past it most mornings. It does look pretty good. But I just, there's a buzz around the city. And I think, imagine that in Newcastle. Obviously, there's certain things that would need to be ticked, certain boxes. You mentioned atmosphere, Pete. But there's lots of things. But I'm not closed to it. I'll be honest. I'm not completely closed to it.
You mentioned season tickets, Chris. I'll put this out to everyone, really. Will it affect season tickets if we get a new stadium? And what I mean by that, do you think the club will open up a new round of season tickets to be available? Spectre, you're nodding your head.
Yeah. No, because, no, and I've heard a kind of conversation before, just in general. You know, about, I think if you remember, they were talking about, you know, that, because, you know, like, for example, obviously, I go to most of the away games, innit? I don't really go to home games, obviously, for obvious reasons, innit? I wish I could. So I remember there was, I can't really find a way how to describe it. There was something where, you know, like the balance where they want to, like, revamp it, but then, obviously, the hardcore original, us longevity supporters, they were, like, they, obviously, some supporters are scared of, let's just call them tourist supporters, yeah? That's going to happen eventually, whether we like it or not. It's coming, bro. If not, it's coming already. I've already seen signs of it. Just for example, the official NUFC Instagram for the takeover, for the benefit, is that 100,000+ followers? Now you've seen what it is. So we've got to put the original fans in. You know what I mean? It's a tricky one. Because like I said, and I'll say it again, whether we like it or not, it's a business to them. So when Chris was alluding to, which is right, you'll probably get all the fans involved. You know, like questionnaires and surveys. It's all bullshit, bro. It's all a smokescreen. Even if they do that, even if you had 90% fans saying no, brother, you're going to do what they've got to do, bro. And it is what it is. Let's not push your foot around, bro. They own the club.
Do you think, though, Specs, that there would be... Yeah. I agree with what you're saying. They will have a firm idea and there'll be some non-negotiables. They'll throw it in the survey, but they'll be non-negotiable and they do what they want to do. But, you know, in terms of, like, I'm meaning more like, you know, the finishing touches and maybe, oh, let's call it that because the fans want to call it that. Put that in there because the fans want it so that it feels like the fans have had an input on the stadium rather than just, there's your stadium, get on with it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You'd like to think so. That's a good point you made, you know, in terms of, well, of course, they've got to give fans some say. You know what I'm saying? Like, what, like, decorations, or if you want to put certain, you know, old memorabilia from the old stadium, or, you know, that's what we could hope so. Otherwise, there'll probably be an uproar. Like, you've got to give us some say, especially the season ticket holders. It's been there for longevity. But I just, like, look, dare I say, and it's a scary thing to say, I've seen some of the comments saying, new stadium, as long as they still call it St. James or SJP. Brother, you know, like these name rights, that's one of the biggest things of marketing. You see the Etihad and all the Emirates. I really don't think they're hearing that. That's one scary thought. They probably call it, I don't know, something to do with Saudi or something. Do you get what I'm saying? And then fans will have an uproar and then they'll try and intellectually speak to the fans and say, look, in order to go forward and, you know, and FFP, trust me, it's coming, bro. It's inevitable, but it is what it is. Like,
I don't think they should call it St. James's Park, because I think that we've had St. James's Park. Like, don't get me wrong, if they were to rename St. James's Park now, I think it should include St. James's Park, like a Ramco at St. James's Park, just for an example. But I actually think, you know, I think some fans wouldn't like the fact that they called it St. James's Park if they built a new stadium, because it's a new adventure. Some people would want it still, but anyway,
If you ask me, would I change the name from St. James? I'm actually too scared to even give my opinion on that. So I'm not going to put my two pences on that one. I'm going to trust you. Don't ask me. Please don't ask me, bro. You're a brave man. You're a very brave man. I leave it to you, babe. Like
that. It's an interesting one. I think the only way that they would actually kind of not get away with it, it's not the right words, but it would only make it sort of right to keep it St. James's Park, as if it was maybe built next to the current St. James's Park, Leisure's Park, there. They could probably get away with that. And I agree. There'd be lots of workshops, there'd be lots of consultations, surveys, all the things that you boys would say. But the big decision would lie with the ownership. They would come out, in my opinion, and say, we're getting a new stadium. New stadium's coming. However, this is what we want you to be a part of. We want you to be a part of this process and that process. And all the way up until that stadium is open, Newcastle fans will have the opportunity to have their say. But the big decisions, in my opinion, will lie with the ownership. And for me, a new stadium's coming. It is. Like, regardless of whether people want it, whether they don't, a new stadium's coming. And for me, the reason why the new stadium's coming is because if you look at every club that's worth their salt, that are at the top of the football chain, they have one of the state-of-the-art stadiums. There's no surprise. There's no surprise that Sir Jim Ratcliffe, and by the way, pay up. He still owes us. I'm not forgetting it until you put that money where your mouth is.
Show me the money.
Yeah, show me the money. Exactly. there's no surprise that Sir Jim Ratcliffe has come into Manchester United and gone, we need a brand new stadium. And there's no surprise that there's talk that Newcastle United are looking at a new stadium, because where we want to be, and where, more importantly, this ownership want to be, because they took us over wanting to be number one. There's no surprise that the likes of Amanda Staveley and Mirgad Guedosi were talking about us winning the Premier League and chasing the Champions League and being at that sort of level. That's where they see us. Not right now, but that's where they want us to be as soon as possible. And with that comes a stadium that's befitting of one of the best teams in the world. Now, as much as we love St. James's Park, and I love it, as much as we love that stadium and as iconic as it is, in the modern football, you have to move with the times. And we talked about it with Tottenham Hotspur. Like, regardless of trophies, this is not a conversation about trophies. This is about being able to fight at the top table and be there and be able to have not just the best team, the best manager, the best owners, but it's about having the best stadium and the best facilities. And to have that, we have to have a new stadium, because it's clear as day that that East Stand is not going to be able to be developed on. It's becoming more and more obvious. I think there is possibilities of being able to develop on the Gallagate, but then there's problems with that, with the Strawberry Corner, with the Stack, with the Metro. All of these things are a problem. And they're problematic, and there's loads of twists and turns to get round in order to get even that expansion. And that expansion of the Gallagher wouldn't even be that much. It wouldn't be a significant amount. So therefore, I think at this point now, to be the best, we've got to do what the best are doing. You look at Barcelona and Real Madrid. They've got the space to redevelop their stadium. Barcelona are playing at their training ground, I think, for the next 2 years, to get and redevelop. That's New Camp's iconic, but they know in order to move with the times, they've got to redevelop their stadium. Look at what Real Madrid have done. They've literally got their pitch that can be cut up into six pieces and put underneath the ground. You know, they are moving with the times as much as their stadium is, but they have the ability. The difference is they can develop around their stadium. We can't. So at some point, the ownership have got to suck it in and go, we need to make a decision now. We want a new stadium. We've said that we're happy to stay at St. James's Park now, but actually we need to move forward. And I actually think it's going to be quicker than people think, where they actually make the decision on the stadium. But it's one that's going to rumble on, guys. It's one that's going to rumble on. But any additional thoughts on the stadium talk before we move on to the next section?
I was just going to quickly add, and I've listened to a lot of what you've all been saying, and there are some good points. There really, really is. I completely agree in the business side of things. Like, you have to move on eventually. However, what I will say is that if you ask West Ham fans if they agree with their new stadium, if you ask Tottenham, they love their new stadium. I'm sure Specs can tell me when he sees all the Spurs fans outside his house saying, look at this stadium, it's amazing. They've not won anything. They've not won anything yet with it in it. Don't get me wrong, I know there's other reasons to say that, and that's a different topic altogether. But moving stadium doesn't 100% guarantee your success. What it does is it gives you a bit of a chance to do so. It doesn't guarantee it, though. The only team that you would argue that have moved stadium and it's worked out for them is Man City. But Man City weren't the Man City that they are now. So it's a little bit different. If you look at Liverpool, for example, Liverpool could have easily gone, right, we're going to pick anywhere in Liverpool and build a new stadium. It doesn't matter, because we will get the fans because we're Liverpool Football Club. Let's be brutally honest, as much as it pains me to say it. They could fill out a 100,000-seater stadium. But what they've done is that they've realised that Anfield is so special to them to go, right, we are going to do everything in our power. And Anfield, I know there's probably better people that live in the area that can probably tell me more. But I've been to Anfield a couple of times. There's not much space around Anfield. There's a lot of housing around it, and they've had to kind of, you know, move things around. Like, I don't know how true it is, but I think they've had to buy houses to kind of almost move them or have the right to say what they want to do with that. So the Liverpool way, Liverpool model, is to kind of go, well, no, we know what we've got here. We're going to make it even better if we can. If we can do that, then let's see what happens. Because let's be honest, if you ask a Liverpool fan, do they want to move away from Anfield? I don't think they would. And I don't think Newcastle fans want to move away from St. James's Park. So I think the hierarchy right now, as much as I've said before, I think they would move if they had the choice. But I think they see the fans' backlash and they go, I don't think they want to get the fans on the wrong side to start with. Let's be honest, PR-wise, they don't want the fans against you. And this is a very, very touchy subject. I think the fact that they've got architects in, they've got people looking in to see what they can do, is basically exploring every single avenue to go, right, can we do it? Can we physically do it? But how much change necessary do we actually need to make? Is it a case that we want a five-star restaurant in the ground, like a Spurs or whatever? Do we want, you know, beer places or whatever? Or do we just want a better... Greg's, happily pay Greg's prices inside St. James's Park, believe you me. But that's the thing. We've got to just kind of decide what we want, because at the end of the day, we're a football club. We want to be a successful football club. I guess you've all mentioned if you were a season ticket, I am a season ticket holder. I don't want us to move at all. I'm very strongly against it. I completely understand your points and I can understand the debate, but I would love us to explore every single avenue. And if it means that we can get the 10,000-15,000 fans more in, and you all get to see Newcastle a bit more often at St. James's Park, you'd still want to be at St. James's Park. I don't know if you want to be at the Aramco Stadium powered by whatever. You know, let's try and see what we can do.
Just one thing, because we had started to talk about it earlier when we moved on. But I imagine in that situation, let's say that they were building a new stadium, the season ticket holders in St. James's Park would automatically get preference. Do they want their season ticket in the new stadium? Like, they wouldn't be. It's all a free for all now, and everyone can go, and that would not be right.
I'm assuming that would be the case. I'm assuming they would go, our season ticket holders, you've got a certain amount of time to make your mind up whether or not you're going to go and sit in this brand new stadium, which is, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. But you know, I don't know. I think they've already got plans of where they would have this new stadium if they were to do it. I think they've got to think about that. They've got to think of option B, option C, option D. And it wouldn't surprise me, but I think the fact that the ground is so close to the city is another big tick to the ownership going, you know, we've got everything there, everything's around there. We don't have to do much, but I don't know. If the ground was moved to Leasers Park, it wouldn't be the end of the world. It doesn't mean they'd make a massive disruption, but again, where on Leasers Park can you really do it? Like, I've walked around Leasers Park, you can't just really stick it in the middle of Leasers Park and go, right, that's where the new stadium's going to be. It doesn't really quite work like that.
So, one thing, yeah. That's half off topic. The world is changing so much. All these businessmen, I wouldn't be surprised in the future, the way football's changing and everything, I wouldn't be surprised if one day they said, you know what, we're moving the training ground to London to attract people. Bro, it's scary. We can laugh, but bro, trust me, I'm laughing, but it's not a joke. Bro, I'm telling you, you don't know where this future is going, bro. I wouldn't be surprised if it said St. James's training ground in the middle of bloody Stratford. You get me? In Westfield, somewhere behind it. And then on match day, if you travel to Newcastle, just disconnected with the fans completely. It's crazy, bro. Like, it's not like it used to be. You know what I mean? It's in the olden days where you got the original local man, Englishman, buying a club. Them days are gone, bro. But sorry, I don't mean to scare people, but you can laugh,
well,
but you never know, bro.
Okay. Well, it was like a number of years ago, Wimbledon were going to move to Dublin at one stage.
And then they moved to Milton Keynes.
Wild.
I think, Pete, eventually, we're going to end up moving to a new stadium. I kind of agree with you as well. I mean, for me, I mean, you have to go with the times if you want to take that next step. I looked at both sides, yeah. And for me, if I had the choice to move to new stadium, stay in St. James's Park, I've started to lean more now into a new stadium because I think we need to move with the times and be up to the modern game. Like, you know what I mean? St. James could be a memory. I'm going to miss St. James's Park. It's always be iconic, historic, fantastic stadium. No one's going to forget it, yeah. But one day, we had to end up moving because I don't think the East and East End is going to expand. I really don't. And you said that yourself, it's not going to expand. But Leicester's Park, like I said, perfect.
Yeah. Let's wait and see. I've just been thrown by the chat, Daz. I'm really sorry. We've got a guest in here, the other side of the pond, where the rats live. Spirit of 37.
Are those the guys from Netflix?
Yeah. What the next? Not the new Man City one where they win the treble. It's the Netflix one where they get relegated again and again. That's that Spirit of 37. And they've said to us that we're running. Hey, Daz, Chris, have we ever ran scared of a channel? Have we ran scared of an opposition? Hey, Spirit of 37, contact us. Come join us. I think the only ones that are fuming.
You're fuming? You
after we spanked you 3-0. and we took a picture of in the Jason Tindall stand. That's where it was. Johnny, were you at that game?
I was there. To be fair, what you just need to do, boys, just don't roll out the red carpet because they do get a bit frustrated if you roll out the red carpet for these sort of occasions because, like I say, you know, like I know for a fact you wouldn't change your background to red and white, would you? You wouldn't do anything like that. No,
lads, we wouldn't give out free drinks, would we? Would you do that?
No, we wouldn't do that, would we
ever? Contact us. Let's get it on. All right, that's what I wanted to say on that.
And the poll results are in as well, yes. Actually. Just we'll close off the poll. Mm. This is from a couple of minutes ago. Could have changed since. But yeah, 78% said yes. They believe that we do need to move to a new stadium. And 22 said no. So interesting.
Quite surprised by that, to be honest. Thought it would be a bit more balanced. Quite surprised.
They're still going, guys. Now they're just lying to themselves. Like, well, why are they even lying to themselves? But look, the respect is there in the end. Let's get that one sorted. So yeah, look, interesting on the stadium, boys. We will come back to this and we'll talk about it again on Talking To, because that conversation is going nowhere. That is for sure. However. A more light-hearted one. We got the win on Saturday. Big result, what we needed at St. James's Park. But an element of that performance, boys, and I want your opinions on this. And John, John Sinclair, I'll come to you first. From what we saw against the Wolves, was there a return of Eddie Howe's shithouse mags? And what we mean by that is the time wasting, the going down, the slurring of the throw-ins, all the stuff that we saw last season. In your opinion, did you see an element of that take place on Saturday?
Yeah, slightly. Go back to the old Newcastle for last season. I thought it was a good performance from us. But what I've noticed about Eddie, there's a massive gap between the midfield and the defence, yeah? I've noticed straight away that's close together, yeah? They shut that down, defending properly. And then we play like a counter-attacking football, which is quite new. But we started, didn't start that well because Neto had dambled on Torres de Guillen, but Fabian Schär came with a great tackle. But other than that, we just took control of the game. Then Wolves took over a little bit. And then we just got stronger. But yeah, slightly. I mean, like I said, the defence midfield's close. And Joe Willett played really well. And yeah, it's back to our best, man. And I was just happy for the win. But I couldn't go on Saturday, unfortunately, because got snowed on there.
No, it was definitely a big win. It was interesting to see the performance and how Eddie Howe had shaped up. But Specs, did you see that element of some have labelled it the dark arts of Newcastle United. Did you see that come to the fore against Wolves?
In all honesty, unless I was missing something during my watch along, I didn't really see, from what we've been used to from last season, if anything, I want to bloody see more. Mm-hmm. I didn't really see no shithousery. I want to see more. They've put the questions to Eddie a few times, even before the match. Is that missing? But, you know, Eddie's good at navigating his way through questions. He's like, what are you talking about? Obviously, he's bantering. I didn't really see no shithousery. What I saw was, first of all, I was surprised, apart from one or two moments, I was surprised Neto couldn't really have the impact against Burns on that side, or just in general. I thought he would be able to do much more. So I felt we handled that okay. What John Sinclair said, from what more I'm focusing on, what I've seen is, I thought I was on the rare ones to notice that, where the midfield in general, a bit more close to the defence. In the Blackburn game, I didn't really see that, especially when you're trying to pass the ball out from the back. So that was noticeable, and the counter-attack. And I give kudos to him that he tried, it wasn't our usual intensity, all going forward, it worked. We're looking at a low block, but because to be honest with you, I don't know what you lot think of the panel. I thought Wolves not did anything in the end product-wise, but I think they kind of had a bit of the better of us. But then when I pre'd it, over time, we grew. I think that was a plan anyway. They didn't do their thing, try and go on the counter, and it worked. After shithousery, now I want to see more, bro. But what I saw last season, I want to see more. We need Joe Linton back for that as well. Now, Bruno will always be Bruno anyway. But Joe Linton and the likes of that, I want to see them back. You get me? Real shithousery. I don't care about added time. You know when we frustrate a team and then all of a sudden someone sits on the floor for no reason and they sit there. I ain't seen enough of that. I ain't seen enough of that. I didn't notice that. Unless I missed something, forgive me. But I didn't see any form of the shithousery that we're used to. And we need to bring it back, definitely.
Johnny, as Specs has said, you didn't see enough of it. He wants more. Do you want more?
I do, but I think we've just got to be clever about it. Because obviously the rules have obviously been changing, where last year you could get away with it and still be 4 minutes of injury time or 5 minutes of injury time. Now there's 8, 9, 10, and that's not like a regular occurrence. It's quite common now to have that amount of injury time, sometimes even in the first half for time wasting. I just thought Newcastle were very professional on the weekend. I really do. I thought Newcastle were really, really professional, particularly the second half. I thought, especially after we made the substitutions, I think Wolves only had like a real 10-minute spell in the second half where he thought if they get a goal now, it could be a little bit edgy, but I thought we managed the game really, really well second half. You could tell the Wolves were a little bit tired. Obviously, Neto came off at half-time. They've obviously got the second-choice goalkeeper in there too. Obviously, hasn't played a lot of games either. So it was a really, really good... I would say it was managed really, really well. But I think the biggest thing that I took from it is that Joe Willock is so important to this Newcastle United midfield. He really, really was. I thought that him linking up with Isak, Gordon, obviously Bruno helping as well towards back to particularly the first goal, I thought it was really, really good to see. But the Joe Willock, he's that link up and partnership, if you like, was really, really good to see. We've missed that. And, you know, I was out, it was funny, something that it just kind of popped up on my telly this morning of Isak's pass for, Willock's pass for Isak's goal against Tottenham. Just little things like that. I know that's like a rare occurrence, that sort of pass. It was an amazing pass. But the game on Saturday, we saw little bits of them linking up. I thought, well, if we can get 12 games of this, you know, we're going to get goals, because he's like, his record for Newcastle is absolutely frightening. I think it's 1-2, or might even be better, slightly better than 1-2 in the Premier League. So if you keep him fit, you keep Willock fit, then Newcastle will be in a lot of games and we'll get a lot of chances. But in terms of the shithousery, we did a lot of it last year. It worked. Everyone seems to be copying Newcastle's penalty trick at Forest last year, where everyone, you give it to somebody else, I'll give the ball to John Sinclair to take the penalty, but he's not happy taking it, Spector's taking it. So, you know, a lot of things like that, but it was good to see the old Newcastle back, if you like, on Saturday.
Definitely. You mentioned about goals being scored. I looked at the league the other day. I think we've only scored two or three less than Villa. I think we've only scored like six goals less than I think the top three. Like, we're not far away from scoring goals. Like, we know how to put the ball in the back of the net, this team does, that's for sure. But then you look at the conceded, And I think we're only eight different from Villa, so it's not a massive amount. But then you look at the rest, you look at Arsenal's, the Man City's, like the gap is a lot wider from that perspective. But Daz, Chris, I've got a different question for you, for you to answer. We talked about how good the performance was on Saturday, and we talked about the man who for most people thought was man of the match. This man, not everyone thought he was man of the match, but certainly realized and recognized how good he was. My question to you boys, and Jonathan, John, Specs, get involved in this conversation as well, but Daz, Chris, how much in today's market is Bruno Guimarães worth? Now, we don't want to lose him, and we know he's got that buyout clause, but forget that for a second, that release clause, whatever it is, forget that for a second. Just on merit, on his ability, how much is Bruno Guimarães worth in this market?
But Pete, to answer this, I'm not going to look at you as I answer this. He's not leaving. He is not leaving. No way is he leaving.
He ain't leaving.
But no look answer there. Yeah, no. 150 million. I think we did talk about this about a couple of months ago, but I'm saying 150 million. I know you said ignore the release clause, which is probably around 100 million. But yeah, I really don't want to see him go. He gets everything. Even on Twitch, you saw. I'm sure you saw the clip going around and he answering is Joe Linton signing the contract and chanting, singing the chants. You can't replace that. Whatever about his quality, which he is total quality. He's one of the first names on the team sheet as well. But it just his personality as well. He just gets everything. You cannot replace that. It doesn't matter if you brought in five players with the cash you get from him. Well, because you're probably good and good at a good price as well with the FFP and PSR and so on and so forth. But no. He can't leave. Do whatever you can to keep Joe Linton, but also to make sure we don't let Bruno go. Yeah, give him whatever he wants, whenever he wants it.
Chris, what are you thinking, fella? Bruno Guimarães, what's his worth for you?
I mean, you know, Daz is right in what he says, you know, about what he's worth to us. His true market value, in my opinion, is probably between 100 and 110 million. That's where I think his actual value is. In terms of what he's worth to us, you can probably add a few million onto that. I'd say probably like 120, 130 million, just because he's so integral to what we do. He gets the club, he gets the fan base, he gives 110%. He's a winner, isn't he? You can see that. The way he acts on the pitch, the way he acts off the pitch, he brings so much to this team. But yeah, I think it really, if I'm trying to be grounded, his real market value is somewhere between 100 and 110 million. I'm basing that merely on the Declan Rice deal when he moved to Arsenal. I think he's in and around that figure, if I'm being honest. Bruno's an absolutely fantastic player and, you know, I'm a huge, huge fan of his. For me, I'd say around there. But you know, if we got north of 110 million, I think we'd have been doing well. Being honest,
boys, throw your opinions in. Whoever wants to go first, Bruno Guimarães, what are you thinking?
I'll go first if you want, guys. For me, I think he's priceless. The guy's priceless. But if you've got to put a valuation on this guy, you talk about 130 million quid. Because I tell you what, Declan Rice is worth 105. This guy's got to be, what, 130? He could play anything, anywhere in midfield. He can shoot, he can pass, he can tackle. He could tell by his face he loves the club, yeah? You can tell by his face he's got a passion, the hunger, the desire to play for this football club, yeah? But also, Bruno wants to win trophies. That's the thing. And I hope he's with us. I hope he wins a trophy with us, yeah? Maybe the FA Cup or then next season win something again. But he loves the club, Pete. He loves the club. And I think he'll stay for another year, maybe a year or two more. But I don't want to keep him all the time.
Yeah. Go on, boys.
It's so difficult because I take Chris's point that
it's different actually what we think he's worth to what the club thinks he's worth. I think that's quite important. Because someone was saying in January when we were like with Dominic Solanke, you know, Bournemouth won £60 million. I don't think he's worth £60 million, but Bournemouth will value Dom Solanke at £60 million because of how important he is in terms of obviously keeping Bournemouth in the Premier League week in, week out, etc. Or year in, year out. I look at Moises Caicedo and Declan Rice, and Moises Caicedo is £115 million. He doesn't even tie Bruno's laces for me. In my opinion, I think Caicedo is good as what he does, but Bruno offers you so much more. I'd be looking at £150 million. I think the only thing that stops Bruno Guimaraes being the complete midfielder is his pace. If he was quick, because he can defend, he can look like that. Pass was ridiculous on the weekend. I said this the day after. I think he's the best player I've seen in a black and white shirt at St. James's, in my opinion. I just think he is just that good. We are so different when we don't have him in the team. It is just frightening what the drop-off is. It's frightening. Like, we talked about how good Joe Willock's been. We talked about how good Joe Linton's been. Tenali, you know, Longstaff's had his moments, but they don't go anywhere. Nobody's near him. Nobody is near Bruno Guimaraes. He's that good. But if I have to put a price on him, I'm looking at around about the £150 million mark in terms of how much he's worth for Newcastle, because that is how much he's worth. See what he is? He's a brand new stadium. That's how much he is.
Do you know what, Johnny? Just as you mentioned, his pace. For me, you're absolutely right, and I think it sounds horrible to say, but if Bruno Guimaraes had pace, he probably wouldn't be playing for us. That's how good he'd be. He would be absolutely ridiculous if he could get about the pitch quicker and he had that burst of pace in him. He'd be at Real Madrid all day. And I'm not saying that he wouldn't end up at Real Madrid one day, but I think that's the only reason he wasn't picked up sooner, because he's not got that burst of pace. And as we know, especially in the Premier League, like, having pace is a massive advantage.
But just to counteract that, what he does have is passion, right? That lung busting run, and he got the shot off. It was deflected by the defender, and it was followed up by Isak. And also just another example of getting it. I don't know if you saw. I think it was from Jordi Pirlo today. There was a kids game, and this little kid does a tackle on another kid in an indoor soccer match, and gets the ball and kicks it out of play. Goes to the crowd. Yeah. And he tags him in and goes, "This is what Bruno's kids are like." And Bruno's back laughing at it. Like, he just gets it. He's with the fans. He's part of it. So we never want to lose that.
He isn't going to get that anywhere else. We've said it before. No. We'll say it again. He isn't going to get that love and respect anywhere else at any other club. He could go to a bigger club and win trophies and play really well there, but he isn't going to get the love and respect that Newcastle United give him, that's for sure. But it goes back. It's a great point about the pace, because haven't we seen a difference in what he's been able to do since we've had Joe Willock in the team? And that is so key. And what I found really interesting, that, and I'm going slightly off topic, so I do apologise, is that he came out and said that he's so happy to be playing with Joe Willock, because I think he realises how important he is. And although he's not got that pace, it's very, very clear. If you have the right players around him, he will still do what those world-class midfielders with pace are able to do. He just needs the right components around him to do that. So he's had Joe Linton for the last 2 years or so. He's had Joe Willock. Sometimes both of them either side of him mopping up when Sean Longstaff's been on fire on one side, Willock, Joe Linton on the other. He's had everything around him where he hasn't had to do those recovery runs. But he's been made to do it this season. He's really struggled, but he's still been able to dictate the ball, still been able to find the pass, still been able to do all of that good stuff. And I just think with Willock being back now, I think that could potentially unlock him for sure. But Specs, I'll come to you. Two quick things. One, your value on Bruno Guimaraes, and two, and I just want a yes or no from all of you. Do you think Bruno Guimaraes can last the 6 games, I think it might be, without getting a yellow card? So, Specs, I'll come to you first on that. your value on him, and can he achieve the next six games without getting a yellow card?
I'll try and make it quick here because so many things said. I never want him to go. You get what I'm saying? He's not just a talented baller. He's one of us. You get what I'm saying? Like, he literally embraces the fans. Like, he's not fake. He loves the fans, bro. He feels the love and he appreciates it. In terms of saying 150 and all that, nah, not for me. You get what I'm saying? Like, I love Bruno. I don't think I love him as much as everyone else does on that level, but he's one of our main guys. I'll say 115, 120 max. I feel the pace obviously ain't there, but it's not everything. His athleticism, I think, lets him down at times, and you see the proper best out of him, as you alluded to, Pete, when you've got the runners like the Willocks and the Joe Lintons. That's when you're going to see the best out of Bruno. But you can't ask too much of him, like I said, the athleticism and the pace. I think 115, 120. I wouldn't say 150. I wouldn't go that far. And just quickly, Jonathan, because I missed what he said. Did you say Bruno's the best in black and white and what, in terms of what midfield you've ever seen? Or because I missed
him. No, you're right. Best player I've ever seen at Newcastle. For me, Specs, he's just got the whole lot. And we talked about
he's the best
pace.
You've ever seen in a black and white shirt.
I think so. I just think for myself, just watching it, only Bruno Guimarães changes the game against Nottingham Forest a few weeks ago. We don't win that game without Bruno Guimarães. But
in midfield, do you mean any players you've seen?
All the players, in terms of anyone that's wore a Newcastle shirt that I've seen in the last 20 odd years or so, I've not seen a better player than Bruno Guimarães. In my personal opinion, there'll be people that my dad will tell you to his blue in the face that the best player that he's ever seen is Peter Beardsley. He said he was a magician. Yeah. He says if he was playing in today's game, he'd be worth 150 million. We have this debate quite a lot. But for me, he is Bruno Guimarães. We talk about his pace, but he's 5 seconds quicker in his head. Like that pass for Miggy in the second half, he is the only player on the pitch that could do that pass. For me, there's only a slight debate that the Manchester City midfield is a midfield he would struggle to get into when all the Man City players are fit. In terms of Rodri, De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva, he potentially struggles to get into that midfield. But any other midfield in the world, he gets into that midfield. The Man City one, you can have that debate. But that's how highly I rate him. He's just so intelligent. Like passes, we're kind of working out what passes he's going to make. But the passes that he does make now, we're going 2 years going, how did he even see that? Like, how did he even see that pass? Like, I remember when he had that run of games. I think it was the Wolves game from a couple of years ago on a Friday night. And I'm talking to my mates going, where have we got him from? Like, how good is he?
He's top up. Sorry, Pete, I don't mean to go on in it. Like, cause this is why I love football, you know. This is why I love debates amongst Newcastle fans when it's respectful and just, you get me? But I'm stunned that you're saying that, bro. Like, for me, I'm going with Johan Caballé over Bruno all day. For me.
Wow.
I'm going with Caballé all day long. People have to agree, but I'm not scared to say my opinion. He's never come. Bruno's never come in my head for me to think, oh, is he the greatest I've ever seen? Not for me. But because I don't want to waste no time, I'll go forward and say, can Bruno get a yellow card in the next? Won't get a yellow card. I think he's bound to get one. Someone's going to push him to the edge, and he might. He's doing well so far, but the question is, yes, he will get a yellow card. And to Jonathan, it wasn't, I'm not having a go at your opinion. I was just, it's just a beautiful.
If you're having a go at me, I'll tell you now, honestly. No,
it's all love, bro. It's all love, man.
Like you said, it's a great debate to have, and that's the thing. Like, Pete might say that Bruno's better than everybody. You know, Daz might say the same. It doesn't make a difference to all Newcastle fans. And that's what it's all about. There's people in the comments that are saying that I'm right, that I'm wrong. You know,
it's all debatable.
That's debate. That's why everybody loves football, isn't it? That's why we all love it.
Yeah.
But share is the goal, though. Let's just keep it real. But you can carry on. Share is the goal. And I think that's
Jeff Hendrick is in with the shout as well. Yes, Dave.
Well, we'll go around from Johnny to John and then round to you, Daz, Chris. is Bruno getting a yellow card? Yes or no? I think it's about six games. I think he's got to get through.
32, yeah, he has to get there.
Yeah, he's getting the yellow card, unfortunately.
John, what are you thinking?
He's doing well, isn't he? But I think he'd go the distance. I definitely get another yellow card. I think he'd be fine.
Okay, Daz.
I'm amazed that he's lasted this long. I really, selfishly, I hope he doesn't get one against Chelsea, because if he does, we're going to miss him because we're over for the West Ham game. But I think he will after that. Please not at the Chelsea game though, so we get to see him. But yeah, I think it's going to happen as well.
Chris, what are you thinking?
I don't know. Yeah, I think he's got this. You know, I think he's got it. I mean, we saw, didn't we, in the Blackburn game, where he was like a Rottweiler, because I think he knew that if he was to get a yellow card, it wouldn't make a difference. I think there was when we were watching it on when we were watching the match live, there was this tackle he went in for, and it was like, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? So like that clearly showed me that, you know, he's not letting the shackles off. So I actually think that I think he'll do it, because, like we've just been talking about, boys, you know, he is very much a team player and he loves the club. And I think if he gets a yellow, he knows he's letting a lot of people down. So for me, I think he'll hold his head. I think he'll avoid the yellow card.
Providing we keep everyone fit, I think we've got enough around us for him to not be able to, not need to overcommit himself. I think he was really good actually against Wolves recovering the ball, particularly in the second half. I mean, he made some important tackles, but it wasn't anything that would have given anything away. He was almost mopping up. But that's because Willock worked so hard off the ball.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of tracking back from a lot of people, Gordon, Willock, Longstaff at times, although he wasn't great, he did a lot of that mopping up. And I think if we can do that, there's a chance. I think Les has put in the chat, it's 5 games, not 6, which is still a long time, but it's music to my ears that I got it wrong by one game. It's even closer than I thought it would be. But I'll just give a shout out to everyone in the chat. We've had 270 in the chat tonight. So we should hit your target, Daz. Easy, to 200 likes. Come on, people.
You know what I mean? Do the right thing.
Of course, get in there and get it done. Look, I had a few other topics. I'm not going to go through them all. But I don't know if you want to talk about the big game, 29th of March. To talk about what's coming up, where revenge will be sweet, is what I'm going to say. Revenge will be sweet.
Let's bring up the poster, I think, about it, and let people know what's happening. Pete, do talk us through what's happening. Just for people as well, as I said at the start, the link to donate to charity is at the top of the YouTube channel, the chat. And also, if you can scan the QR code on your phone, go and open your photo, pointed towards the QR code, and that will take you into the same link, basically. So that is there. But Pete, tell us a bit more about the actual game, and I'll leave this up on screen for a minute or two.
Yeah, it's got to be about a year ago now, Johnny, isn't it? We kind of spoke to each other and we'd had a chat. We knew we were coming up to Newcastle in April last year, and we talked about doing something together, doing a little charity football game, and it kind of spiraled into raising money for charity. It was the Gateshead Food Bank that we chose on that occasion in April, and we raised a lot of money for a really, really good cause there. Great game, good knock around. One team got very lucky and got the win. One team, unfortunately, was screwed over. But we won't go into those sorts of details. However, the second annual charity match is up and running. And look, Johnny, I have to say massive thanks to you to kind of putting that together and arranging it. And we agreed as two channels to raise money for a different charity this year. And we've chosen the Alan Shearer Foundation. We know it's a fantastic organisation and what they do and how they support and help people, not just in the region, but mostly in the region. And that's taking place 29th of March, Friday 29th. at Forest Hall. I believe 3 o'clock kickoff.
Good old Friday, 3 o'clock kickoff. Nearly said Saturday there. But yeah, no, it's for the Alan Shearer Foundation. I think we all obviously Alan Shearer is obviously we don't need to say how much of a legend he is, but what he's done charity wise is nothing short than remarkable, if I'm honest. It's amazing what he's done for, you know, for all sorts of people with all different needs in terms of needing a bit of help in certain areas. And obviously the Alan Shearer Centre has been created and it's helping a lot of people, you know, obviously parents as well, because obviously they're getting a bit of respite and it does need money to keep going every single year. It's a lot of money that has to be raised every year. Obviously we're trying to help do our little bit, and I can only really thank yourself, all the loaded lads from last year, because for the Gateshead Food Bank, you know, the loaded family were absolutely outstanding. Like, I mean, really, really well. I was really shocked. So if again, I say this all the time because times are very, very tough. And I mean, and I do mean that. I understand that. We know that times are difficult. So if anybody is in a position, small, whatever they can donate, that would be honestly really, really appreciated. We've got a little target in mind, me and Peter set out, obviously for £300. We've started okay. I think we've obviously had a few donations. I'll obviously have a look after we finish the after we finish this show, but as well, and see how we get on. But if anybody's in a position to donate and watch a Newcastle fans TV win by at least 5 goals, Andy.
I saw that in the chat earlier.
He snuck that in there. Yeah.
Do you know what it is? Like, honestly, Daz, you probably not know this, but honestly, we nearly did it for the Pete Davey Foundation because he was crying that much from last year. Right? he couldn't get over the fact that we absolutely battered them last year, and yeah, honestly, it got that embarrassing in the end.
We had to carry him home that night. We had to carry him home that night, John. No, that was for another reason.
How many drinks did you have that night?
I think we all had a few. I'm not going to lie. But we definitely can't do the same. We might miss the match the next day. So,
well, sorry, mate. Thank God for that early kickoff on the Easter Saturday. Whose idea is that? it should be a great occasion. Like I say, hopefully Chris gets there on time for a change. That would be really good as well.
Happy day. You know,
yeah, because he decided to come in after you're about 10 down or something at that point. So it was nice to have a pop.
Get lost. I'm pretty sure that they would like by like one or two goals. Like,
no, it's at least five. Yeah,
from Bruno's Magic Hat.
Bruno's Magic Hat scored 70 minutes. Because you have to let him walk the ball in.
The biggest miracle in this is that Sam Mullen never plays these games, but because we're doing it for the Alan Shearer Foundation, he's made an exception. He's even bought shin pads. He's that much.
It means business.
I know it means business. Honestly, he's a
that's Sky Sports Sam.
That's Sky Sports that's Sam. Yeah. Sky Sports. Yeah, Sky Sports Sam Mullen is playing. Yeah, so he's making a rare appearance, but he's traveling up because he's. He's only just been told this, but I've managed to sort my ticket for West Ham, so that's why he's in a good mood as well. So he's fully expecting to get a ticket in the ballot now because obviously he just knows that's going to happen. I think he's got one ticket in the ballot all season, but he's feeling sorry for himself. So we're getting him a little violin with the winnings as well.
And the mind games have started already because I'm sure it's Lee. I bet it's Lee Lawler. He decided to switch the logos around to move the bag over
wrong.
To where. Oh, who was
you're
it?
Wrong. You're wrong. It was Sky Sports Sam.
Sky Sports Sam. Because I thought maybe I'd go one better and colour in Newcastle Fans TV red and white stripes. But I thought it might go a bit too far.
I thought there was going to be a one gold star underneath us for how many wins we've had against each other. So that's what I thought it would be. But he was being quite polite that day. But in all seriousness, if people want to come along and watch, it's in Forest Hall. It's the Forest Hall Sports Centre, I think I believe it's called. It's literally the only place you can play football in Forest Hall. So if people want to come down, it's a 3 o'clock kickoff on Friday, the 29th of March. We're raising funds for the Alan Shearer. Centre, obviously, which is part of the Alan Shearer Foundation. Obviously, I know I've got the link as well. We're putting the link on the on every video we do from now until the 29th as well. So yeah, if anybody's in a position, like I say, £1, £5, £10, whatever he can afford, you know, it'd be greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated.
Definitely. As Johnny said, and absolutely right, if you can, please make sure you go and support the Alan Shearer Foundation. Give a donation, anything you can, as you said, and that'd be amazing. For sure, and we'll be looking to equal the score. That's for sure, and who knows?
And you've said that against us, hasn't it? Equal the score.
We were winning for a little bit of that game. That's for sure.
You were ahead for a good 15 seconds. Yeah. Honestly, it was a great 15 seconds that you were ahead, and then obviously we basically woke up and we thought, you know what, we actually should give them a proper game now. It's like, you know, when you play an Xbox and you're kind of going like that and you're like taking it serious. That's all it was, really, wasn't it?
No, to be fair, I think it was partly our own fault. We didn't anyhow. We made too many changes. We swapped too many things around. We didn't keep to the structure.
Injuries.
We were a man down as well. We were a man of the squad down. Chris wasn't there. But then when we came in, me and Chris at the back, we just shored things up. You couldn't get near us. We went full on anyhow.
Well, I heard Chris is the new Anthony Gordon anyway. He's like, Anthony Gordon is loaded now, isn't he? So we've got no chance of it.
That's just the picture behind him. Don't get confused by that. But we plan to make Good Friday's great again. So looking forward to the game. So
that should be good.
Last one from me, and it's a really, really quick one before we sort of wrap up. We talked about the league table. I'll just drop it up really quickly. And we talked about whether, you know, we can get European positions. We're certainly in the mix for it, but we have a decent fixture list. We've got a tough game on Monday at Stamford Bridge, no doubt about it. But Chelsea aren't in amazing form at all, and we can go there and win. So we've got Chelsea away. The FA Cup aside, focus on the league. We've got West Ham, what we're talking about, that Easter weekend at St. James's Park. And then we're at St. James's Park again against Fulham. Everton, not long after that, on the 2nd of April. And my question to you boys is, from those three fixtures, what is an acceptable points total in those games? Chelsea away, West Ham at home, Everton at home. Chris, I'll start with you and we'll work our way round the houses. So in your opinion, what's an acceptable points total from those games?
I'm setting a high bar here, Pete. So to answer the question of what's acceptable, to me, acceptable would be 7 points. I'd say a draw to Chelsea, and I fully expect us to beat West Ham and Everton at home. Obviously, I want 9 points, but if the question is what's acceptable would be 7 points to me.
Specs, what are you going for, fella?
I like the way you put that, you know. I like the way you put that. 7 points... You could go with that, but in all honesty, should I say, I don't see why we can't get the all 9 points. Mm. Looking at it now with the players back as well, yeah. I read, like, obviously it's a hope that kills you, but looking at it, what is it? We've got two home games out of those three, right?
Yeah, West Ham and Everton home back to back.
Yeah, man, and Chelsea, yeah. I don't see why we couldn't nick 3 points from Chelsea away. They're hot and cold. Well, they're not hot and cold, but it's mostly cold. So, like I said, if you can stick to this momentum and this confidence we had from the Wolves game, and like I said, it's so important. We've got certain players back, the likes of Willock, etc. Tino might get a run now. He might get a run, because I'm not sure about Tripp's injury or how that's going on. So, yeah, I 7 points would be, I'll take that. That's reasonable. But 9 points is not out of question. It's not impossible.
Johnny, what are you going for, fella? What do you think is an acceptable points total?
Six or seven, I think, is acceptable. I think we've got an awful record at Stamford Bridge. We've only won once in the Premier League era, and Cissé scored those two goals, which was my 18th birthday. I know I don't look a day over 21. But no, in all seriousness, I think I always fancy against literally the only team at home I feel before a game, if you offer me a point, it's Man City. I even put Liverpool into that sort of equation. I think we can beat Liverpool if we don't capitulate with 10 minutes to go. But West Ham will be a tough game. West Ham are a good team. Obviously, they're in and around where we are right now. I think obviously they're slightly above us, so that will be tough. But at home, you would feel a bit confident. Everton are a bit of a free-for-all at this moment in time. The manager's just not getting wins. Everton, I think we've beaten Everton the last two or three seasons at St. James's. So you would expect 3 points there. And the fact that they can't score goals, and Newcastle can score goals, if Newcastle can defend properly, Newcastle should beat Everton. So this Chelsea team is rubbish. Like, it is absolutely rubbish. And I still find it so hard to forget about that quarter-final Carabao Cup game. I really, really do. Because if we just decided to screw our heads on for 2.5 minutes, we would have been in the final against Liverpool's kids, and I don't think we would have been called the black and white billionaire bottle jobs. I think we might have had a chance of competing and winning in that game, but who knows? But no, I think 6 or 7 points. I think West Ham out of the three is probably the most tricky, but Chelsea's probably the most likely where we drop points, as we just have a horrendous record at Stamford Bridge.
John, what are you thinking? Points wise.
Yeah, I'm going to go with what Johnny said about Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea are poor at the minute. Like, this is not the best Chelsea team I've seen. It's not a good Chelsea team at all, I can't lie. There's only a couple of individual players can do it. Cole Palmer is a cracking player. I really like this kid. You know, and Conor Gallagher, I like him as well. I know some people don't. But at the end of the day, right, I don't think this Chelsea team is that great. I think we could beat them. I really do think we can. And West Ham's going to be a bit tricky. At home, West Ham will probably, under David Moyes, going to make it tough for us, yeah, but I think we'll probably get away with that. Everton, it's a must-win game. We have to win that game. No, it's no buts. Everton in battle of relegation. For me, I'm going to say between 7 and 9 points, yeah. Minimum 7 points we'll take for that, Pete.
Daz, what are you going for?
Yeah, I agree with what most of the lads are saying. Especially what Chris was saying at the start, the 7 points is the minimum you'd expect. I want all nine. And I think we can get all nine as well. The trickiest one for me is the Chelsea away. We have to smash West Ham. We're at that game. And the Chris Hall derby. It's a no-brainer as well. But a key factor will we have Bruno for all three games? It's going to be key. And someone said that in the chat as well. Let's go for nine. Why not?
Yeah, I'm with you. Not that it's the acceptable score, the points total, but I think we're all in that opinion, all of us on the panel, that we can get 9 points from those three games for sure. I actually think West Ham's the toughest of the three. Because West Ham have got an attacking line that is really potent. Now, Paqueta's back. Bowen's on fire at the moment. Mohamed Kudus is proving to be a terrific player. I think it's going to be a really difficult game. But we're at home. And at home, we know anything's possible. But, you know, we owe Chelsea one. We owe them at Stamford Bridge. We don't get nowhere near enough wins at that place. And we owe them a big win. On Monday, so I'm looking forward to that one for sure. I've got a couple more questions. I'm not going to go through them tonight because we'll probably be in another hour, but we'll stick with those questions for next week. But Daz, is there any one or two you want to quick fire before we wrap up?
Yes, let's do kind of quick fire. But thanks to Lorraine and everyone else who has subscribed tonight. Great to see some new faces in the chat as well. One we didn't talk about, we touched on Pete before we started the show, but Dave brings this one. Dave Bullman says about Zinchenko. There's talk today of us being in the mix for him. I don't like the fee of 45 million being quoted, but would anyone take him to Newcastle? He's what, 27?
Nah.
Not for me.
It's an all round then, so let's go move on. right. This one from Alan Thompson. Lads, question. Billy Villa fan on the 12th Man podcast says, Ollie Watkins is better than Isak. Does the panel agree? Yes or no? And why? Who's going to agree with that?
I think for me, it's a preference. It's a preference thing. For me, I'll put it in that sense. And the preference is Isak all day long. I wouldn't change him for no one. He can stay fit for a whole season. You can only imagine. Look how much goals he's on already. And he's been out, what, twice already. So now, for me, my preference will be Isak.
I think Specs makes a really good point, because if you have a fully fit Isak for a whole season, no injuries, he scores more than what Watkins has done this season, in my opinion. Yeah, I think Isak is the whole package. Isak can do what Watkins can do. Watkins can't do what Isak can do, in my opinion. I think Isak's a very, very good footballer. I think he can run with the ball. He's a goal scorer. He links up with a lot of players, particularly like, so obviously talking our midfielders. He's a bit of a, you know, fox in the box. He saw the goal against Wolves, you know, getting in the right areas to get that first goal. He's sharp, he's quick, he's worth a lot of money, and that's why Newcastle paid the big bucks for him. But you know, if you can keep him fit, you know, that's all you just need to do, because he's 1 and 2 in the Premier League. He's like that, you don't get many strikers that are 1 and 2. Probably Harry Kane, and well, when Harry Kane's in the Premier League, he's probably the only exception really to the rule. So yeah, and well, and Haaland, obviously. Forgot about him. So he's all right, isn't he? But yeah.
I'll give you guys as well with Isak. I mean, he's a complete package for me. In stays injury free, right? Play 30 games minimum. I think this guy can get 25 goals minimum next season if he stays fit. No question about that. Lots of play out front. You can see what he can do. He can play wide as well. So he's got a lot. The guy's got a lot. And long may continue, because I think he's going to be he's going to be world class. Give him a couple more years, be world class.
Let's move on, lads. Let's move on with the next question. This is an interesting one from Lee G. And he asked the question for the lads: pick a player by ability and not because of circumstances. Would you rather have in your side Jonas Gutierrez or ASM? It's a tough question.
Good question.
I don't know. Go on, Specs. I don't think it's a tough question. I'm going for ASM all day long. You know, he's hot and cold at times. I think even at times this season when we're struggling, there's moments we've missed that where he can make the opposition think twice and scare them when he's on it. Jonas, though, he's a legend, bro. Let's not ever get it twisted, man. Some memories of him, get me, during some relegation battles as well. Let's not forget, never can forget Jonas. We love him. You get me? But if I had a choice, yeah, I'm going with ASM, man.
And just a nice link in there, while you think your answer is, he's coming to Newcastle. Yes. He's coming to Newcastle to talk to Pete Graves on the 9th of May. Go check that out via the gala events, and tickets from £35 as well. So that's a nice link. And anyone else, any thoughts on who you'd pick? ASM or Jonas Gutierrez? Spider-Man.
I'd go ASM. I just think he... Yes, he was very hot and cold. I just think when I look at the moments, particularly before the takeover, where it was basically ASM and Callum Wilson SC before, in terms of keeping us up in the division, let's be honest. And we did miss him when he wasn't fit. So Gutierrez gave us some good moments. And, you know, I don't get emotional with football in terms of, like, physically getting crying, but the closest I've ever got was Gutierrez scoring against West Ham on the final day. I just think if someone can come back from cancer and score a goal that meant so much, even though he wasn't getting a contract, which, again, it's another reason to dislike Mike Ashley and the ownership at that time. Yeah, that's probably the closest. But, yeah, ASM, just for pure talent, I think he's one. If he had the assists and goals scoring record that Anthony Gordon has for Newcastle right now, he wouldn't be at Newcastle in that respect. He wouldn't be playing in Saudi. He'd be playing for, again, the top clubs, let's be honest.
That's a tricky one for me as well. I can't put a finger on it, man. But if I was forced into a position, I'd go with just ASM for me. Because, yes, he has got a final product. He hasn't got an end product. But skillful wise, he's fantastic. You know, he just makes people second guessing that as well. You know what he can do. And, you know, he scores some cracking goals as well since his time with us. But join us, loving the bits as well. Give us some great moments as well with his run of the ball as well, dribbles and that. But for me, just ASM for me.
I would even say just it's ASM, man, for me, period.
Yeah. Okay, well, you say Specky, I'll go ASM then, period.
You know, just to add into that, I mean, like, I love Jonas, and yeah, he did fantastic things for the club, and I hate the way his career ended at Newcastle. But taking off the rose tinted glasses, like, Jonas's numbers for Newcastle for the winger were awful. Like, he didn't score enough goals, he didn't assist enough goals. Really good player, but he didn't have those numbers. Now, I know ASM had a similar problem, and I agree with Johnny. ASM wouldn't have played for Newcastle if he could have got those numbers. But yeah, in terms of how ASM carries us at certain times in games, like he was literally a one-man show or two-man show, as Johnny said, with Callum Wilson as well. So for me, it was quite an easy one. Like, I'd definitely pick ASM.
Pete, ASM fanboy.
If I speak, I'm in big trouble. What was I going to say?
Don't do it, Pete.
He's always sitting on the fence with these tricky questions.
I'm not Keith. And we may get that tomorrow night. We'll see. But no, look, of course, ASM all day. All day, every day. He's a maverick. He's an entertainer. He didn't get the numbers, as you boys have said. And absolutely, that's why he's left the club. But he is a difference maker. And even when he doesn't get the goals or assists, he creates moments in which we score goals. So he might play the pass before the assist that creates the goal. And if you go back to his last season at Newcastle United, and there was a really good reel of opportunities, almost a reel of opportunities where ASM should have got assists, but the player missed the chance, and it was a good, easy chance. And if it had had that, it had racked up another 10, 12, 15 goal contributions in that season. So it is very much fine margins, but what you will get is him coming on and making a difference for Newcastle United. And he is capable of the impossible. And we just go back to the volley at Molineux last season, which was just an outrageous volley that ended up getting us a point out of nothing when we probably didn't deserve it.
Yep.
Beautiful. Be the same. I'll go ASM as well on this one. Do we want to go for more questions, or have we run out of time? I have one or two comments I want to bring in, but I think we should probably think about wrapping up. Andrew DB, so that's a good one here. Is the best round of accents he's heard for a long time. Great collection there here on the show tonight. So great to hear that as well. And yeah, you know what? I'll leave it there on the questions. There's some great questions we didn't get to, but leave it there. We want to tell people what's happening tomorrow as well, Pete. Let's tell people about tomorrow's show.
Yeah, so we're back. Away days, big match preview. We've got Charlie from the Blue Brothers podcast, and we've got Greasy Don, who people will know from the 12th Man and various other channels, talking all things Newcastle United and Chelsea. And we're going to get to why are Chelsea's the £1 billion blue bottle jobs. We're going to ask them that question tomorrow night. So looking forward to that. Don't be late, 8 o'clock on Loaded Mag NUFC. And I'm sure we'll be seeing Keith sitting on the fence again. But we'll look forward to it.
Two-two in his hand. Yeah. Wait. 2-2 is the new 1-1 for Keith. Next year is 3-3. But yeah, we'll be back for a reaction show as well. Probably on Tuesday, I think we've lined up that for a reaction show. So pushed all the way till Tuesday with the game on Monday. Also, then a quick shout out to our sponsors. A shout out to the radiatorshed.com and the fabulous radiators that Russ has going there. Mention Lord and Mac and you get a 20% discount as well. Tell him we sent you his way. And also shout out to H2O Bathroom Design Co. and the fabulous bathrooms that they have on offer. Go check out the showroom. Go check out the website. That's the advice there for the latest and greatest that they have to offer. And also then, I suppose we'll give a shout out to ourselves because we're across a range of platforms, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Music, and across the socials on Twitter, X, TikTok, and Insta. And for business inquiries, contact us at loadedmaginufcinfo@gmail.com. But I think we should allow the lads here as well to promote their channels and thank them for coming on and joining us tonight. So, John, let's start with you and we go across the board.
Thank you very much for having us on tonight, guys. It's been fantastic. And you can find us on John Sinclair TV. I'll do the match previews, reviews, breaking news, Real Talk podcast as well. Well, I'd get enough people to come on as well. And also do like a collab show, like a once a week with different fan sets. And also doing match day vlogs as well. So I'll be doing the match day vlog against Man City. That'll be my next vlog. So I can't wait for doing it. So please hit like and subscribe, please. Thank you.
Nice one, John. Everyone's channel is hyperlinked as well in the YouTube description. Johnny, where can we find you?
Yeah, all over Newcastle Fans TV. So we've got obviously Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, predominantly Instagram, TikTok, wherever. You know, we're obviously pretty much every game. Lee's at the game on Monday night against Chelsea. He's at the women's game on Sunday against Stourbridge, and then it's obviously City in the Cup. And then obviously we do a little bit of everything. We win charity games against Loaded Mag. We do a little bit of everything. That's a lot, really, isn't it?
That's all. That's an offer.
Well, lads, just let him do it. Let him do it, because then when March 29th comes around, then looking forward to it.
Specs, let's go to you and first. Sorry, Johnny, do you want to say something else?
I was just going to say again, just that if you're in a position to, obviously for the charity, if you can in a position to donate, then again, we greatly appreciate it. That's the main reason why we're all doing it. Banter aside.
Yeah, exactly. Specs, let's go to you as well. And for Specs, let's get Specs to 1K. He's not that far off at 1K. So let's, if everyone, as well as hitting the like, go click and subscribe to Specs as well. Let's get him to 1K subs. Specs, tell us more.
You put me on the spot, man. You know I'm humble, man. I just go with the flow. But I appreciate you, like, anyway, and everyone on the panel and everyone in the comments, all the viewers and everyone that I appreciate. Obviously, I'm the London Embracing Geordie, Geordie Dread TV. I do all the Newcastle watch-alongs. I do football watch-alongs in general. I just love football. And obviously, I collab with many other stations as well. But big up to Loaded Mags. And just on a serious note, I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing that you guys are doing with the charity match. Like, that's no joke. So off air, I would like to donate or direct to you direct or the link. But on a serious note, those kind of things, coming from where I'm coming from, in my hood, there's a lot of poverty where I'm from, that's normal. So those kind of things, I take it seriously. So big up to you guys for doing your charity work, man, because that means a lot to even see you guys doing that. But yeah, I'm Geordie Dread, all platforms, Twitter, social media, Twitter, Instagram, and even Facebook. So yeah, so big up to you, to everyone on the panel.
Cheers, Specs.
Brilliant stuff. It's been a great show. Really enjoyed that. Great chat all round. And no doubt we'll get you boys on again to talk more talking to. See you out, Daz. Take us home, fella.
Right. For Johnny, when we smash you on the 29th of March, we'll say, how'd you like that? How you like that?
shred, cock back. Flame drinking, like me and Tim, you like that, like that.